Welcome to the Optimism Show. Today, we have Chris Co-Created, a Web3 artist and the founder of Co-Own Growth Studio. Today with Chris, we're going to discuss the future of NFTs and Web3 art, community-driven art, and building a thriving Web3 community. Let's get started. Chris, since you're already established Web3 artist, tell us about your journey up until how you stumbled on Web3 art and what was your journey in Web3 art itself?
Yes. So I have always seen myself as a community artist, and my career started in theatre, and I was making work with and for people in schools or in care homes. And it would always be like a dusty church hall or somewhere kind of pretty low status, not a lot of money. And I loved it. I loved making that work because it got people to express things that are important to them in new and surprising ways, and so much energy. And that was amazing, but it was also pretty challenging from a financial point of view. And long story short, I ended up working to change the care sector and working in leadership, organizational development, culture, all of these kind of areas. And there was a lot in that. I still run a care business, but it wasn't kind of nourishing me creatively. And I think a lot of my work I make, and I think most artists, this is the same, you're making to fill something that isn't there in your life in some way. So when I kind of came into Web3 initially, it was kind of the realization that there was a technology here that could help transform the world. And I'd always been very interested in global social justice issues and kind of came to realize that the structures and systems that we organize our society through don't empower people, are not just and equitable. And all of these things kind of in the technology around Web3 really inspired me. And so that was kind of the first thing that brought me in. And then kind of arriving, I was like, oh, holy shit, this is community art. A lot of what is happening here is community art practice. And there's resources here as well. This is not hard and complex and difficult. Well, actually, it is hard and complex and difficult, but in a whole different load of ways than kind of when I was making work in care homes and that kind of thing. And I got really excited and interested around it, and found myself into just right at the edges of the Nouns community. And that, because when I first kind of found out about Web3, I was like, oh, DAOs sound amazing. Like, what can I find if I Google on the internet? And I like found Nouns, and I was like, and I need $50,000, $100,000 to buy one. Like, what the absolute? I didn't get it at all. And then over a little bit of time, I came to realize that you can build on Nouns without needing to own a token, without needing to spend any money at all. So long as you're making Nounish interesting things, that'll organizations there and interested to support. So I had this kind of fun idea of what does a profile picture look like? Like, what if you turn it sideways? And I made a whole series of Nounish work around this. Actually, I just got a little pin still sitting here. But if you put the noggles sideways, you get them like that. See, so you're looking lost. Right. Noggles, turn them sideways, and you get that. So yeah, that was the first sort of big in inverted commas project for me. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I put it up there. I sold about 10 for like on an auction for I think like a dollar or something. Like, I got one bid or maybe two, and it was just like it didn't go anywhere. But I did get a grant for Nouns, and I spent that on going to NFT NYC in New York and got to know a few people, and that was kind of the crux of it. And some of those people have kind of become close friends and kind of been along with a lot of the journey with me. But that was kind of my entry point. And there's been a huge amount of like fucking around, finding out, trying to work out what I'm doing and how to do it. And looking for somewhere that I belong, ultimately, because I think that's a big part of the art.
First of all, as a human, but especially as an artist, finding that place where you actually clicks can be quite challenging.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, completely. And my experience has been that it's what you put in and what you get out. And if you keep showing up, then you do find your people and you do find a connection. And I was lucky enough to find Farcaster through.
I'm really curious now that you mentioned like Farcaster and like finding your community and everything. And since we touched on community art, I'm just curious, like, where do you see community art evolving in the coming years? Like, how do you see it changing?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is something I think about a lot, so I'm not sure I have like a really coherent articulation, but I think there's sort of two almost different art worlds that are like kind of rubbing up and trying to make sense of themselves in Web3 or possibly even 3. One is what you might kind of think of as a folk art practice, that it is, it's like art sort of by the people, for the people, that isn't immersed in a like an art history tradition. It is simply people expressing a thing that is important and relevant to them in that moment. And I think that is a lot of what community art is in kind of the broad sense, is it's really a folk art practice. But then you also have, and that's all about access and volume and you know, in the Web3 space, there's a shit ton of memes and Pepes and Zorbs and all these kind of expressions. And then you've got kind of capital A artists that are making work that's kind of in some way about the human condition in kind of grander terms, and what's it like to be alive, and they're doing that with sort of a deep practice behind them, something they've kind of been doing all their lives within quite a strange structure. I think the art world is quite a strange space, and we've got this kind of radical democratization that's going on in Web3, and all these things just piling in together. And of course you've got some amazing capital A artists who are making memetic work, and those things kind of mush into each other. And then you've got this practice of digital art as well, which has kind of found its absolute sweet spot as well, in terms of generative code-based art that's kind of found a home here in a way. And that almost feels like the truly digitally native bit. And these forces are sort of all kind of playing around. And I think most artists kind of want things to be easy. Like, they want to make the stuff they want to make and to be able to find an audience for it and put it out. And so we like look at a platform like Zora and kind of go, and everybody wants Zora to be what they want it to be in a sense. And of course it's not, because I think we've got at least three different quite distinct worlds all looking for the right tooling for them. And I think part of what's been difficult is because these platforms are also fucking around and finding out and trying to work out how their model works. And so I think at different moments in time, they have served these different audiences in different ways. And of course, these audiences are not distinct. They're very merged into each other. Those are kind of my thoughts on what community art and the art kind of space here looks like. And ultimately, I think where communities are doing it well are they're enabling people to express the values inside of the brand that they are. Because ultimately communities here are brands. Sure. Perhaps all communities are. I don't know. I think about my local street. Maybe that's not a brand. But my town probably is a brand in a way. And yeah, I think those communities that do it well are are ones that enable people to generally express the values.
What are your thoughts on, like, when it comes to these communities, what do you think it's the core drivers that really makes a community strong, especially a community of artists? Like, what are the key things that connect and intertwine the different energies inside and make it work and actually make it grow afterward?
And I think it's the same as any organization, really, fundamentally, that if it's underpinned by strong values and a clear purpose, then I think that's kind of critically important over time, that you've got good leadership that sees people, enables them to be seen. Then there are ways for people to engage and participate and to feel like they're valued in one way or another. You know, if you look at the communities that are out there, and one of the strongest ones for me is BASE right now. And it, you know, there's a very clear set of values there. They know exactly what they're doing. They're building this global long chain economy, and their values are right there in it. It's creativity, innovation, freedom. It's like, bang, everyone can get on board with that. You've got great leadership that's, and this isn't particularly going to an artist point of view, that the leaders are really around devs. They know that's their access route, but there's plenty of space for artists to come and get expressed within that kind of big structure that's going on and doing something profound and meaningful in the world. I think the challenge with artist communities often is that it's actually quite a difficult small community to be in, because it's almost art for art's sake, in a sense, which for me is beautiful and inspiring, and artists love that. Then you get this very kind of small community that's actually wants outsiders inside of it, because they want people to collect their work as well most of the time, and that I think is quite difficult at the moment. And I think we're in a bit of a art related bear right at the moment.
Like, thing is, especially like with the current state of the world and even the current state of our own little niche world on Farcaster or the communities, and having that sort of like a bear market for, like, especially for the art. In your opinion, what are some things that will eventually help us get out of that bear market and actually spreading the art that truly makes a difference, and not just the art that is there just to make profit and not much more than that? And I think a lot of artists get stuck in that. Personally, I think a lot of artists get stuck in that. Is like, I want to create, but then do I have to create this in this way just to be able to afford the lifestyle?
Right. Yeah. I think it's a super interesting question. And part of the issue at the moment is that there's not enough attention. There's, you know, artists having in theory having an artist's life is great. If you can actually spend your days creating art, self-actualizing, and earning a living for it, like, there's a huge number of people that want that life. And so suddenly everyone ears pick up and go, oh yeah, there's a ton of money to be made over here, and come and make your stuff. And it's like, yeah, but we don't have the audience here yet. We've got a few million people in total on chain right now, and the people that want deep, thoughtful art that asks big questions, that's challenging, that makes us think differently or to truly be seen, that takes a certain audience member fundamentally. And when we've got a billion people on chain, then there's going to be an audience. There's going to be a much bigger audience. And therefore, the kind of people that are looking out for that work are also going to be there. That's kind of how I think about it. I'm much more optimistic about selling a million pieces, like 30 cents each, than I am about like a rarefied one-of-one kind of recreating the traditional art market on chain. And probably there will be both. I'm sure there'll be both. It'll depend on what artists want to do. But I think it's about finding ways to make things that hit at scale, that actually are tapping into the moment that's here in front of us. And the moment that's here in front of us is not a load of people sitting around considering beauty and meaning and kind of what it is to be human. It's mainly people going, LFG, we're at the start of something crazy and wild and interesting. And so I think it is going to be, as an artist, it's trying to do both of those things in some way. Tapping into the current culture is, I think, the route to scale if you're going to be around here in a meaningful way, but also doing it in a way that is profound and beautiful and meaningful. And if you can kind of find that route through, then I think that's the sweet spot. But just expect us to turn up and do whatever your art isn't, might well not hit at this point.
Well, following up on that, now that you have you're launching another project, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When you launch, since the market is so small right now, and as you said, like being a bit more optimistic of selling like more of a million pieces at 30 cents than going at that niche one-on-one traditional art market.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things right now that help you a lot when launching a new project to actually, I assume you have certain goals with each project to actually achieve those goals, or at least some of the expectations there? Like, what are some things that you're really looking for that so far has helped you? I know it can be quite different from project to project.
Yeah. So the first bit is that I've stopped having goals. I'm not too attached to what happens with each thing. I think that
creating art for creating.
I wish. And the reason I say that is because definitely my most successful pieces have been when I have tapped into a particular project and a particular thing that is happening, that is like not just my art about whatever I think's interesting. It is taking things that I've created. So my signature pieces are art made from handles, the social handles of the people that collect that art. Generally, that's those are kind of the key pieces. I've done them with PFPs. I've done them I've done lots of other things, but those are the ones that have kind of hit most strongly. And the versions of those that have done the absolute best and gone viral have been when I've hit a moment in time. So my first really successful piece in that way was when Zora launched its Zora chain. And I made a big interactive piece with the first 100,000 or so ENSs on top of that. Then kind of other big successes are when I did a piece around DGEN and pulled out everyone that had the hat in their Farcaster name and made a piece with that. Then the latest big success was with the launch of Moxie. And that piece is minting at the moment. Might be finishing, just about to go into a liquid market. At the point that this podcast gets released, but that's got the names of everyone who's active on Moxie in it, and that's had about 3,000 names in it, and is currently sitting at 11,000 and something mints. And that's a really interesting thing about this is that it has been minted by a lot more people than feature in it because it's hit that viral escape trajectory. It was like something that was so off the moment and inspired and lit up so many people, like 1,000 people minted it in the first hour or something like that. And that's because I hit on people feeling like they belonged. It was being there right at the start, and it was this thing that people were excited about. And when that happened, then everyone jumps in. And then once everyone's jumped in, you get this network effect and people see what's going viral. And so they jump on it and you get to ride the wave.
Based on what you just mentioned, like, this just popped in my head and I might be awfully wrong, but it just might be a completely, like, this, what you're doing might be a completely new way or something that's really picking up of art collaboration. Like, rather than going and create, like, finding other artists to create art with, you create art directly with the community without having them actively be involved in the making of the art, but at the same time, they are involved.
Right, exactly. I think so, and obviously I think I think this is a way of thinking about things that Web3 unlocks that is new and different and interesting, and it's taken a long time for people to start. For me, as an artist, it feels like a long time. Like I've been making work like this for getting on 2 years now, and it still feels slow. But at the same time, like 10,000 people noticing something is pretty nice and exciting from that perspective. But I think it's a really interesting space, and this is the kind of the core of the exploration of my work, is that what is fundamentally different about Web3 is the community of people who collect an artwork. That's what the art is in on-chain, or it's generative, which is another kind of distinct unlock. I think, you know, generative arts can function in a totally different way because of the blockchain. And I also think that community art in this way can function in a totally different way because of the blockchain. And it's really underexplored at the moment. And I'm just about to release a new project that's looking to articulate this idea in the simplest way that I possibly can. Because that's one of the things I've also realized, is that it's very easy to make this work complicated. Like I was just going to pick up something that I thought was just there, but it's not. But I've realized that I can't explain my work to people that I meet in the real world in a straightforward way. Because first they have to understand what Farcaster is, like one of my biggest, or what Zora is. You know, like I can talk to you quite quickly about what the Zora artwork was, or the Moxie artwork, but if you don't have that context, then that's like at least a 10-minute conversation to have some vague sense of what it is that's going on before I can then explain what my art is. And so what I'm about to release is a series of work that's intended to be ongoing as long as the community is interested in it, and hopefully for decades, called We Are the Art. And the very first piece for that is going to be the Mona Lisa made out of the names of everyone who owns the token that represents the Mona Lisa, We Are the Art. And that's going to be released hopefully this week. That's going to be the first piece. And then next month, we will have a community of people who are subscribed on Hypersub to go on this journey. And collectively, we'll decide what the second piece in the collection will be. And that, to begin with, is going to be limited. It'll probably be like either Starry Night or The Scream or Guernica. Mm-hmm. And then the community will decide what piece we want to make. And then that journey will continue, and every month we will make a new piece in this same style, with the only stipulation being that it's a CC0 piece of art. So that's going to be released as a hypersub, which is a way for people to subscribe and say, I want to be inside of this thing ongoingly. Everyone that's subscribed is going to get 11 tokens, 11 copies of the artwork drop to them, which gives them two things. One, they can send it to their friends, they can make a gift of it. And two, because it's a liquid market, once the mint has closed after a month, they've then got some tokens with some value as well. And if, as I theorize, and I think you're also kind of thinking, this is actually a new and different way of thinking about and creating art, then it's not unreasonable to think that the early work is going to appreciate in value over time.
That is definitely like a way of creating art that I have not encountered before. And the other thing is, like, first of all, I find it super interesting because, like, the community itself, like, it literally, your project name, like, We Are the Art, is exactly that. Like, that's exactly what you're doing. Like, the people are the art. Like, you're also guiding the art. Now, you being one of the, I think I can comfortably say, like, you being one of the pioneers of art and, like, the first movers on Farcaster, Zora, and even Web3 in general, it's actually so new that, like, you're really paving the path for new artists that will start coming in as Web3 art goes more and more and more mainstream. Mm-hmm. What currently, like, thinking, like, what are some things, for example, that you have learned throughout your journey and now maybe what you're learning with the launch of your newest project, We Are the Art, that you think it's very important to hear, like, for new artists to hear, so they have, let's say, a smoother journey in the web space. Not necessarily say easier, but like smoother.
For sure. I guess first I'd say, like, we are still really early with all of this. And I can't claim to be like a Web3 OG artist. Zora and Farcaster, I'll accept. But, you know, like, when I first turned up, I felt like I had no idea what I was doing and that everyone had been here forever. And, like, I'd missed everything. I'd missed punks and squiggles. And all of that was, like, all before my time. But, yeah, new things emerged that I did get to be there and part of at the start of something. And but the reason I got to be there and part of it is because I was turning up and engaging and taking a risk and was willing to be on the outside for a while, just being authentic, being myself, trying to engage in a genuine way with people. And slowly over time that turned into proper relationships and people wanting to support me and me supporting them. So yeah, I would definitely say that, like, don't get too much in your own head about whether you belong or not. Just kind of show up and create something that you hope people find valuable. And I think there's loads and loads of examples of people that I didn't even know 3 months ago, never heard of. And I'm there on Farcaster social media, like, every day, multiple times a day. And people like the guy that runs the Success Channel, Mars, can't say his name now, but, you know, he's come from nowhere over 3 months just by turning up and making a genuine connection and contribution for people and supporting them. And as an artist, turning up and doing that's definitely going to help doing the stuff that you're interested in, but also being really mindful to what other people are being interested in. Like, this artist called Yon on Farcaster, he basically just turned up and started doing versions of people's PFPs in his own style. And they're super colorful and they're super animated. And people love that because people love themselves. Like, I'm being willing to do some of that. Like, and he got himself a significant reputation and attention by doing that. And that kind of thing is a whole ton more successful than just turning up and posting beautiful images, beautiful as they might be. It's we're in an absolutely flooded market. But what you can't get is a version of me in some way, a version of my community, a version of this moment in time that's going to go away. And so, yeah, think how you can meaningfully engage in scarcity, in genuine scarcity, rather than some false, oh, I'm only going to release one of these type scarcity. I think those are some thoughts, I think.
Well, that's like really like engaging, like making something meaningful and engaging with the community and building with the community. Yet a lot of like, especially like newcomers from what I've seen in the art space, like, you know it better. Like a lot of people also, when they hear about Web3, the first thing they, or Web3 art specifically, the first thing they think about is like NFTs and super monetizing your art and everything. So what are some things that have helped you along the way to monetize your art? And also, what are some things that new artists that are entering this space should keep in mind so they don't get disappointed when it monetizing their art? Because a lot of people are going full in, and yet after some time, when it's not going according to their expectations, get disappointed and just drop it off at the practically the worst possible moment, because if they waited just a bit longer, it would have been amazing.
Yeah. And I think definitely come in with low expectations. See this as a long game now. I think the period of like crazy money being paid for art is basically over in terms of Web3. I'm sure there'll be exceptions, but yeah, we have an absolutely flooded market. So I'd be thinking in terms of pocket money rather than like full earning a living for the first period of time, and experiment and come around and do it because it's fun, do it because you enjoy being here, not because it's work. Is my recommendation. If it coming, building relationships, you're going to make money one way or the other, but it probably won't be doing the thing that you think you're doing, if that makes sense. But we've got, you know, on the Farcast platform, we've got multiple ways that people can pay you for, if you come along and genuinely create value, and that might only be a few cents here, a dollar there, maybe someone really big realize what you're doing and you get $10 for a thing. But if we're at a few million at the moment and we're going to 1, 2, 3 billion people, then all of this scales, all of this ramps up. And so if you're creating something that's valuable, then there's plenty of space and time for that to happen. But right now, at this moment in time, jumping into Web3 or jumping onto Farcaster, if you're already in Web3, it's not going to suddenly earn you a living. But there are definitely things you can do by delivering what people are interested in, what they're excited about. The other thing I'll say is, I think there's opportunity to, if you can really lean into providing something to the community they want. So I think about this athlete. There's a British triple jumper who's turned up on Farcaster like a couple of months ago, doing fitness stuff every day, talking about her journey. And people want to get fitter. And she's providing the content on a daily basis that is helping them get fitter and giving them some insight into what it is to be an athlete. And there's an opportunity there for an artist to come in and help people in a genuine way. It's like, learn to draw. There's a space for the person who teaches people how to draw on Farcast, or the person that helps people think about how to be more creative, and who shows up every single day, providing, explainer videos, giving tips, engaging genuinely. There's some massive wide open spaces where you can really be the first mover still. But being a person that turns up and shares beautiful photographs or beautiful paintings, we're absolutely swamped.
Chris, thank you for this insightful interview. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners that you believe they should hear about, or it's particularly valuable?
I think we've covered most of the stuff. The one other thing that I haven't touched on is that from a commercialization point of view, the other thing I'm looking at, and also this collaborative creation point of view, is that I'm in the process of building with others, a growth studio, a growth agency, on Farcosta, from this observation that we all want to belong, we all want to be collaborating with brands, with communities in a meaningful way where we're co-creating together, and we're making meaningful experiences. And so we're building that in a co-created way. We're co-owned. It's working title is co-owned growth studio, and we're doing it co-owned with people who are there on Farcosta, and making collaborative community art is part of that offer on top of, you know, the more standard growth studio engagement tools. But there's space there as well for artists and for monetization. And that's part of how I'm thinking about what I'm doing, because knowing that the most successful pieces I've done have been where I have made work for brands and they have lit things up. There's a chunk of opportunity there that we're not even really scratching the surface of, because as far as I'm concerned, a big chunk of the future of brands and marketing and co-created, it isn't, hey, we're the experts and we're going to tell you what to do. Says me, who's been chatting on about what I think for the past half hour.
But one last thing, like, where can listeners of our podcast find your newest project?
So the website is co-created.xyz. That's the easiest place for anyone to come and find me. But if you're a little bit deeper into Web3, then come find me on Farcosta, where I'm Chris Co.
Amazing. And all those links will be actually in the description, so you can go straight to them.
Perfect. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for tuning in with us on this episode of The Optimism Show. To get the keynotes of this episode, go to insights.optimism.show. And don't forget to leave a comment on who would you like to see as our special guest on the next episode of the show. And until then, stay optimistic.